Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Tim Murtaugh is the communications director for President Trump's reelection campaign. He joined us every Monday to kind of give us a preview of what's coming up. And, I mean, a lot of news from the weekend. I kept looking for you on Friday night. Were you at the president's rally in Newport News?
I was not, John. No, it's hard, believe it or not, it's hard to get away from my desk even on a Friday night. So, no, somebody has to man the fort, and
I
get out to those things when I can. And even though Virginia is my old stomping grounds, there were things happening, you know, getting ready for the upcoming debate. And, you know, there's always a lot going on in Trump world.
Yeah. Well, you had good staff. Everybody was really nice and everything. And a big crowd. You know, Norman Leahy from the Washington Post said he heard 3,000. I was being told 4,700 while I was there. Do you know how many people actually showed up?
I don't. We always get the official count from the Secret Service because they're the ones who run the mags, you know, the metal detectors that people walk through. So,
right,
and I did not get an official count. I saw the pictures of it, and it just looked fantastic. Really big, boisterous crowd. And, man, does it show the contrast between the enthusiasm behind the president's campaign and just the sleepy campaign that Joe Biden is, real, frankly, not running, honestly. You know, the president is out talking to the people. He's hearing from voters. He's got cheering crowds. And Joe Biden really could practically hold a campaign event in a broom closet. I mean, that's the excitement that he's got going for him. And Biden's trying to run for president doing basically nothing but running TV ads. And the president is out. We also now passed, we're approaching 2.3 million volunteers, people who are out knocking on doors and making phone calls. And we've made 110 million voter contacts. And that's something that the Biden campaign is also not doing. They're running strictly an air war, and the president is running a real campaign out generating enthusiasm and tapping into what got him elected in the first place. And that's our game plan, and we're very happy with it.
Really interesting, because, you know, that Organizing for America thing that the Obama crowd brought in doesn't seem to be activated for Biden in the same way as it was during their time in the White House, the Obama time.
No, and there's just no excitement behind the guy. In order to get people willing to go out and knock on doors and make phone calls, you have to actually care about the candidate, right? And no one is excited about Joe Biden. And you're seeing these stories pop up now in North Carolina, in Minnesota, and in Michigan, and I'm sure they're feeling it in Virginia. On the ground, you know, Democrats in those states are saying, hey, and they're trying to warn the Biden campaign, hey, you know, we see no presence whatsoever of the Biden campaign here in our communities. And the Trump campaign is everywhere. You guys are getting killed on the ground out here. This is Democrats, you know, sounding the warning sign for Biden. But, you know, the Biden campaign says, oh, first they say, oh, we're not going to do it because of COVID. And now they say, oh, we're not going to do it because there's no proof that it works, which is a lie. They're not doing it because they don't have the capability of doing it. They don't have enthusiastic volunteers. And anyone, you know this, John, anyone who has ever been on a campaign knows that personal contact with voters does work. Yeah. Turnout increases in places where you knock on doors. It's just a fact, and everyone knows it. And so for them to say, ah, it just doesn't work, I mean, it's a crock, and it's because they can't do it. And that's the thing. The president is going to be reelected. He's going to, in these key battleground states where we have a huge presence, talking about places up across the upper Midwest, from Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and then even down to states that aren't traditionally Republican states. That includes Minnesota, of course, but Nevada is a state that looks really good for us. And you know, Florida is going to be in the president's column. North Carolina is going to be there. And so, you know, these public polls are not accurate. They're not a reflection of what we know is going on. The president's going to be reelected, and the media and the Democrats are going to just have to get used to being wrong again.
Well, it was very refreshing. I guess I don't need to tell you that to be in that crowd with people who would voluntarily tell you they love America. I mean, you know, they're Trump fans, but they love America. They applauded for the police when the police walked by. They were giving them a thumbs up instead of hurling insults at them. You know, you weren't talking in that audience to people who wanted to fundamentally change America. You wanted you had a group of people who fundamentally love America. And
yeah,
it was a big distinction from what I've seen
at
other events.
That reminds me of a time I was at a rally last year with a well-known anchor of a show on MSNBC, and I was sitting next to this person in the crowd, and they had never been to a Trump rally before, and she turned to me and said, "Hey, is this way it always is?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "I mean, it's positively joyous here, and there are kids walking around and everything." And I said, "Yeah, that's the way it always is. A Trump rally is a great experience." And she said, "This is not at all what I was led to believe goes on at one of these rallies." And I said, "Well,
it was ugly and nasty.
You should stop
right?
watching. Yeah, you should stop watching your own network and actually see what happens here, because it's a great uplifting experience. And I'm glad you were able to go, and I know so many thousands of Virginians were able to go, and a lot of people from North Carolina made it, because it's down there, very close to the nine right. rural counties in northeastern North Carolina, which are hard to get to for the president. So it was a two state rally, really.
A good mix of people. Well, the next day, the president made his announcement. Amy Coney Barrett is his nominee for the Supreme Court, and we'll see how this plays out. Do you think the Democrats should hold their fire on this woman? She seems very personable. She's attractive, articulate. The picture of her family is like the picture-perfect American family, blended family. And yet some Democrats were taking pot shots at her for daring, I guess, to adopt black children from Haiti. I mean, I was personally offended by that. I got to believe other people were, too.
Well, the thing is, they just can't help themselves. They're going to attack her family. They're going to attack her adopted children. They're going to attack her for being Catholic. It happened in 2017 when she was confirmed for the Seventh Circuit in the first place. You know, the Democrats' attitude is that somebody who has strong religious convictions and, you know, horror of horrors, might be Catholic is something weird. And like really equating the Catholic Church to a cult, which is astoundingly offensive in the United States of America, where we have religious freedom. And there is no religious test for employment in the federal government or being on the court or any other government position or anywhere else in American society, frankly. And that's what we're really girding ourselves for, the idea that Democrats will not be able to help themselves, and they will attack her as being some kind of weirdo because she's a devout Catholic. And the question is, where's Joe Biden in all of this? He's a Catholic himself. Why doesn't he stand up and say, you know, this kind of stuff is out of bounds, or it
right.
ought to be out of bounds? Mm. Fact is, she is a highly qualified jurist. She comes so highly credentialed. She was first in her class at Notre Dame Law School and a very honored faculty member, three times the faculty member of the year at Notre Dame. And when she was nominated the first time for the circuit court, every single full-time member of the Notre Dame Law School faculty signed a letter endorsing her for the federal court. So, I mean, there is no one who can say anything about her legal credentials and her qualifications. So instead, they're going to attack her for adopting children from Haiti and for being Catholic. And that's what the Democrats have sunk to, and that's what we'll see, we anticipate. I hope that they are able to restrain themselves, but, you know, I think the odds of that actually happening are pretty slim.
They've got to take their shot, and it could backfire on them big time. There are a lot of religious people who were very sensitive about that and don't appreciate it.
Sure.
I mean,
I think
go back
anybody
to the Kennedy
who is,
days. That was off limits for John Kennedy. I
We really thought that this was put to bed in America when John Kennedy was elected president. Mm. That, you know, being Catholic is very much a part of being mainstream America, right? I mean, yeah. You know, and I hope that your Catholic listeners are hearing this and are paying attention and watching to see if Democrats are able to contain themselves and not demonize someone simply for the fact of being Catholic.
All right. This New York Times tax story, somebody going to jail for releasing the president's tax returns? Are they the real tax returns? I guess that's the first thing I should ask.
The president and the spokesman in the New York Times story both said that these are inaccurate. The president has paid tens of millions of dollars in federal taxes. And so the New York Times actually went out of the way to say the person they got this from had the legal right to have them. Didn't say anything about the legal right to release them, first of all. So, I mean, and remember again that this is pretty much the same story that the New York Times ran about the president's taxes right before the first debate in 2016. This is their playbook. You know, at what time does this become an in-kind contribution to the Democrats? The New York Times running a story about the president's taxes right before the first debate. So the president has paid tens of millions of dollars in taxes, and the story is not accurate. But we did learn a few things here, John. We learned a few things. One, nowhere in this big story that they tried to sensationalize does it say anything alleging that the president has done anything wrong. That's not in the story. Secondly, as much as the media and Democrats didn't want to believe it, the story confirms that the president has been under audit for the last 10 years, and that's why he hasn't released his taxes publicly. That's what he's always said. Nobody ever believed it, but now the New York Times has confirmed it, that the audit is ongoing. And third, as much as the Democrats had been hoping that this is what would be uncovered, no mention whatsoever about any connections to Russia or any other foreign entities. And you know that's what they were dying for. So with all of that said, this is the same story they wrote 4 years ago about the president's taxes. They ignore the fact that the man has paid tens of millions of dollars in taxes over the course of his lifetime. And there was none of these big sensational bombs in there that they had hoped to uncover. And they can't even get to the point of accusing the president of doing anything wrong. So it's one big empty story, and it's just an in-kind contribution right before the debate, trying to help out Joe Biden, and it is absolutely transparent. They did it 4 years ago, and it didn't work. People knew about the president, and he's a successful man. I think everyone knows that. And I bet you, John, he knows more about the tax code than you and I do, or just about anybody listening. And
wouldn't surprise me. Even people who hate Donald Trump should not be gleeful about illegal activity that releases somebody's documents. You want to get them in court. You want to get a judge to. But I think the illegalities that we keep running into here, where people steal things and dump them into public just because they hate someone, you know, that can come back and bite any one of us. I think that's a real problem.
Yes, it would not have been legal for anyone to leak this to the New York Times. And I would remind people that the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, Tom Perez, took a pledge, publicly issued a letter pledging not to use for political purposes any information that had been stolen or unlawfully circulated. And that's exactly what happened when people gave this to the New York Times. And so I trust that Tom Perez and the Democrats will be true to their word and not use this for political purposes, even though there's nothing in the story. It's the same story that the New York Times wrote in 2016. And it doesn't, as much as they would love to do this, remember, they would love to do this. It doesn't even accuse the president of doing anything wrong. So it's a big nothing burger. It's the best they could come up with leading into the first debate because they have to try to protect their boy, Joe Biden.
I know you got to go. Brad Parscale is okay this morning, the former campaign manager. Is everything all right here?
That's my understanding that Brad is okay. It's a terrible, heartbreaking story for all of us who know and love Brad. He's part of our family now, and he always will be. Mm-hmm. And we're just ready to help him and his wife Candace in any way that we can. And it's a terrible situation, Brad. Brad was treated very badly by the national news media and by the Democrats. And I don't pretend to know the exact circumstances of what happened yesterday, but it's a really a very sad story for us. And I will always count Brad as among my very closest friends. I appreciate everything that he's done for me and gave me a chance on the campaign. And I will always owe him a debt of gratitude. And I'm praying for him. And I feel terribly. And I can't wait to be able to talk to him.
Politics is a tough life. especially when you really care. So I felt bad too. I felt like I needed to bring that up, and I appreciate you talking about it.
Yeah.
Tim Murtaugh, the communications director for President Trump's reelection campaign. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, John. Appreciate the opportunity, as always.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.